Matthew chapter number 26 in your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter number 26. We'll read verses 26 through 30. I'll begin on verse number 26, and then if you'll join me on the odd verses, and we'll read responsively down through verse number 30. Matthew chapter number 26. Stand with me, please. Matthew 26, I'll begin at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, and saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you so much for the time where we can come and Lord, have this time together. I pray, Lord, that you please just bless in a great way. Be with the special music, prepare hearts through it, and then also be with the preacher as he preaches. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Hover o'er me, Holy Spirit, bathe my trembling heart and brow, fill me with thy hallowed presence, come, O come and fill me now. Thou canst fill me, though I cannot tell thee how, but I need thee, greatly need thee. Come, O come and fill me now, fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now, fill thy hallowed presence, come, O come, and fill me now. I am weakness, full of weakness, at thy sacred feet I bow, blessed divine eternal Spirit, fill with power and fill me now, Jesus, come and fill me now, fill me with thy hallowed presence, come, O come and cleanse and comfort, bless and save me, bathe my heart and bathe my brow. Thou art comforting and saving, thou art sweetly filling now. Fill me now, fill me now, Jesus, come and fill me now, fill me with thy hallowed presence, come, O come, and fill me now.
God bless you. Thank you, Brother Dave. I want you to look at verse number 30 in the text we read with Brother Hall a moment ago, because that will be what I'm going to deal with tonight. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Four times a year we come around this table, and it was just as well that we did not plan to do it last Sunday night. The way the weather turned out, we had planned to do it this Sunday night. And I always look forward to this time. It warms my heart to prepare for it, and then it warms my heart to be able to talk to you about it. No greater subject, I don't believe, to talk about and what our Lord did for us on Calvary. And so let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, help us, please. That's a good song. Would you fill us with your presence? Lord Jesus, we're going to try to lift you up tonight and exalt you. And I'm just a mere man, so without divine help, I can't do that. And please, fill us all, and may we hear tonight. May our hearts respond. May we be blessed and helped. And we'll thank you for it. Thank you for this ordinance, this wonderful time around the table. We commit it to you and ask for your blessing on it. In your name, Lord Jesus, we ask this. And amen. There's a popular song that's used in churches. I think some people have sung it over the years here. I've heard it in other churches, special number. And the song is entitled, God Wants to Hear You Sing. You may have heard it. The theme of the song is that God wants us to sing, even in the difficult and lonely and sorrowful and suffering times of life. And the lyrics start out talking about Paul and Silas in jail. Their chains were fastened tight down at the jail that night. And the lyrics go on to say they found a way to sing, at which they did at midnight. You know the story. They sang and praised God, and the jailer, the earthquake came, and the jailer got saved, and the jailer's family. And so after being beaten by the Romans and scourged and put in the stocks, they found a way to sing, and God blessed their singing. It's a good song about some great men using a prime example of a very important practice, if you will, singing under duress. It's a prime example, but it is not the best example. The best example of singing under duress is the one we read about tonight here in the book of Matthew. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus had just finished the Last Supper with the disciples. And you understand that the Old Testament Passover was coming to a close. They no longer needed that because the Lamb had come Himself. And so now He's going to get a New Testament. And there's going to be bread, which is going to represent His body. And there's going to be juice, which is going to represent His blood. It's going to be all about the Lord Jesus, the New Testament, the New Covenant that would be established upon His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Now, Judas had been revealed as the traitor and the betrayer, and he was on his way to do his to the Jewish authorities to do his traitorous work. And they had eaten the bread, and they had tasted the juice, sipped the juice. And then Jesus told them that He looked forward to observing it, this supper with them again in the Father's kingdom, and that He would not drink juice or wine until that time. And then the Bible says the last thing they did before they left this upper room, this guest chamber, the last thing they did was they sang a hymn. They sang a hymn. Now, we don't have to speculate about what they sang. People are still trying to figure out what Paul and Silas sang in the jail at midnight. I've heard everything from Blessed Assurance to Blessed Be the Name to Jailhouse. No, I'm just teasing. Okay, about that one. All right. But people are still trying to speculate about what they sang in the prison there in Philippi. But there is no doubt what they sang that night in Matthew 26 here in that upper room where they had the Last Supper. They were Jews, Jewish people. They had just observed the Passover meal. Now listen, Jewish custom was to sing from what we know as the Book of Psalms, and specifically chapters 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, and 118. That group of Psalms right there. It might be marked in your Bible as the Hallel Psalms. H-A-L-E-L. It's short for Hallelujah, and their songs or psalms or hymns that speak of praising the Lord. And the chapters mention some very important things in the lives of the Jewish people. Those chapters mention the Exodus from Egypt, and they mention the splitting of the Red Sea, the miracle of the dividing of the Red Sea is the most often mentioned miracle in the Bible. I'm sure of that. And that's in those passages. That's in that passage. The giving of the law, the passion of the Messiah, the resurrection of the dead. All of these were very important subjects for Jewish people especially. So these Jewish men, just having observed the Jewish Passover, ran in their minds to the Hallel Psalms, songs, hymns. That's what the book of Psalms is. It's a hymn book, all right? Jewish hymn book. And they sang those Psalms, 113 through 118. Now, what I want to point out tonight is this. I want to point out the ability of Jesus to sing as He was about to go to some very difficult places. I will give them to you. First of all, I'm talking about the place of Gethsemane. Gethsemane. Look at verse number 36 in the same chapter there. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto His disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." Gethsemane, a little garden area at the foot of the Mount of Olives, full of olive trees. John chapter 18 and verse number 2 tells us that Jesus went often with His disciples to that place, this Garden of Gethsemane. And this garden on this night was a place of sorrow. Look at verse 37. "And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," that would be James and John, "and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." This place became a place of sorrow. You know, when Isaiah penned his prophecy, what we know is chapter 53, he said that the Messiah would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And on this night, Jesus would be in this place of sorrow. He would be disappointed with His disciples who could not stay awake and pray with Him for 1 hour. He would be in agony. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 44 tells us that Jesus became so earnest in His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane that He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. That's not, friend, a medical impossibility. That is a medical possibility. There is a name for it, where the agony and the stress and the pressure is so heavy on the physical body that the circulatory system, something happens and the blood leaks through the pores of the skin and combines with the sweat and drops, as it were, great drops of blood, taints the drops of sweat with the red blood and falls on the ground. And that's what happened to the Lord Jesus. The sweat fell to the ground. I want to tell you something. You've got to really be, when I think of sweat falling to the ground, I think of basketball players exerting tons of energy and standing at the free throw line, and you can see the sweat dripping off. And when they shoot the free throws and run to the other end of the court, they have to come out with the mops and mop it up. They've had so much sweat at the free throw line. That's what I think of when I think of sweat falling to the ground. And that's exactly what was happening to the Lord Jesus that night. But He wasn't exerting Himself on the basketball court. He was exerting Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the place of sorrow. He was in a trial. He was in a temptation. He was resisting the temptation of the devil to bypass the cross. Satan came to Him often like that. "You don't need to go to that cross. In fact, if you'll just bow down and worship Me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. You want to be the king? You're king. You're born to be the king of the Jews? I'll give you the kingdoms, and you don't have to go to the cross." Oh, but it was the plan of God for the Lord to go to the cross. And He became completely open to His Father. "Father, if there were any other way to do this, I would do it. But Father, this is Your will, and so let it be." And He would then be kissed on the cheek by the betrayer, Judas. You see, what's Gethsemane, folks? Gethsemane is a place of sorrow. Gethsemane is a place of agony. Gethsemane is a place of temptation. Gethsemane is a place of heaviness. There's an old song we don't sing. It's not in our songbook. It's not in the Sword of the Lord songbook. It's in some real old songbooks. And the song is called "Neath the Old Olive Trees." And here's the chorus. The words go like this. "Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on His knees. Not My will, Thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as He knelt neath the old olive trees. That song is talking about this. It's talking about the Garden of Gethsemane. It's talking about Jesus' time in that place of sorrow and agony and trial and temptation and heaviness and sweat tinged with His own blood. And yet, before He goes to Gethsemane, He sings. He sings. And He doesn't just sing. He sings praises to God. That's what the Hallel Psalms are. They're hallelujah. They're praise to God. And so before He goes to the place of sorrow, to the place of suffering, to the place of temptation, to the place of trial, to the place of heaviness, to the place of agony, before He goes there, He sings hallelujah to God. But now, wait a minute. That's not the only place. The second place He went to is a place called Gabbatha. Turn in your Bible to John's Gospel, John chapter 19. And we don't mention this place often, Gabbatha. John chapter 19, and look with me, if you will, at verse number 13. John chapter 19, verse number 13. The Bible says, when Pilate, there, we're picking up the story. This is after they left Gethsemane, okay? When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now, what was Gabbatha? Let me explain it to you. The Praetorium was the place where the Roman governor Pilate lived. It's called the Praetorium. Now, you remember when Jesus left the Garden of Gethsemane, the Roman soldiers came, Judas kissed Him. And then Jesus left, He was escorted out of the Garden of Gethsemane, and He was taken to stand before Pilate. And then from Pilate, He went to Herod. And then from Herod, He went back to Pilate. And they had those conversations. And in this time of being before Pilate and Herod, Jesus was treated like a common criminal. In fact, He was treated like a horrible criminal. He was smacked. He was buffeted. He was scourged. They plucked the beard out of His face. They laughed at Him. They spit in His face. They mocked Him. They drove a crown of thorns in His brow. You remember all that happened under Pilate and Herod, and then back to Pilate. And now all that's been going on inside now. Some of that's been going on inside Pilate's judgment hall, the Praetorium. But outside of the Praetorium, if you will, maybe on the second floor of the Praetorium, was a little bit of a porch, almost like what you and I would call a balcony. And it had some sealed, tiled floor there, pavement. They called it pavement. And Pilate brought Jesus out to Gabbatha, brought Him out to the pavement, brought Him out to the balcony, brought Him out and put Him up there where He could be seen by all of those who had gathered there at the Praetorium. And Pilate set Him out there and he said to the Jewish people, "Behold, your king." You'll see that in verse 14. You know what their response was? Look at verse 15. "Away with Him! Away with Him! Crucify Him!" And Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests of the Jews answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Here he was in verse number 15, rejection. "Away with Him." In verse number 16, condemnation. "Kill Him, put Him to death." "Then delivered He Him therefore unto them to be crucified." And they took Jesus and led Him away. So here He is amongst His own people. The people that He grew up among. The people whom He had ministered for 3.5 years to. Those people are crying out, "Away with Him. We don't want you. We'll take a Roman Caesar over this Jewish imposter. In fact, release to us a convicted criminal, the criminal Barabbas. But we don't want him." Hatred and venom and contempt and hostility and loathing and any other word you want to plug in there that fits the occasion. All of that is being spewed out from this crowd of Jewish people to the Lord Jesus. "Away with Him. Away with you. We don't want you. Put Him to death. Kill Him. He's not our king. We have no king but Caesar." The innocent condemned by the guilty. The place of rejection. The place of condemnation. On top of the place of suffering. On top of the place of agony. On top of the place of tears. On top of the place of temptation. On top of the place of trial. Now you add to it rejection and condemnation. But before Jesus goes to Gabbatha, He sings. And He doesn't just sing. a song about how heavy his soul is and how hard life is. No, he sings us a hallelujah psalm, a praise God psalm. That's what Jesus does before he goes to Gethsemane and before he goes to Gabbatha. But now wait a minute, there is a third place that is visited on this same time period, and it's found in verse number 17 in John chapter 19. There, look at verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. So he goes to Gethsemane, and then he goes to Gabbatha, and finally he ends up at Golgotha, the place of a skull. The skull representing what? Death. Death. You see a skull and crossbones, you know, you don't drink that. That's some kind of poison that'll cause you to die. Representing death. And there, listen now, there in the place where outlandish criminals were put to death, they crucified the pure and spotless Son of God. Paul said it like this, I mentioned it a couple Sundays ago, that Jesus became obedient unto death. But watch it, not just death, even the death of the cross. And that's what took place at Golgotha. Inhumane, cruel, torturous, reserved for the worst of human offenders. And here was the place of the death of Jesus. We sing a song sometimes out of that blue songbook or gray songbook. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, where he laid down his life for me. If that isn't love, amen. So you got Gethsemane, sorrow and agony and tears and trial and temptation. And then you've got Gabbatha, rejection and condemnation. And then you've got Golgotha, death and crucifixion and separation. But before he went to those three places, he sang. And not just the song of, Lord, I'm going through a hard time in life, please hold my hand. He sang a song of hallelujah. And some of what he sang that night are these words out of Psalm 118. Listen to this. The stone. Now they're singing these words. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now hear it. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what they sang when they left that upper room, that guest chamber, before they went to Gethsemane, and before they went to Gabbatha, and before he went to Golgotha. This is the day. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I know the little and happy day, and it every day is a good day with the Lord. But the context of that scripture is speaking specifically about this day. This day, right here that we've been reading about in Matthew 26 and John 19. This was the day that the Lord God Jehovah had made and planned on from before the very foundation of the world. And this day was Gethsemane Day. This day was Gabbatha Day. This day was Golgotha Day. And when you look at the timeline, it really was about a 24-hour period from the time they left the upper room until the time that Jesus was crucified. It was all about 24 hours. Gethsemane Day and Gabbatha Day and Golgotha Day was foreordained by God as the day of redemption when the Lamb of God would be slain for the sins of the world. And I'm simply saying that that's what Jesus sang about that night before he went to Gethsemane, and before he went to Gabbatha, and before he went to Golgotha, before he went to temptation, before he went to trial, before he went to agony, before he went to sorrow, before he went to tears, before he went to separation and rejection and condemnation and the place of death. Before all of that, this is the day that the Lord hath made. So many times, and this is not my message tonight, but I'm just going to make a little application here. So many times we hit a time of testing and trial, separation and condemnation, and we feel like God is being mean to us or has forgotten us or abandoned us. You understand, this is the day the Lord made. This is the day the Lord designed, planned from before the foundation of the world ever was created. And Jesus, he's saying he was in the will of his Father. He was fulfilling the purpose for which he came into this world. And even though that purpose on this day was suffering and sorrow and agony and stress and tears and rejection and condemnation and death by crucifixion and separation, it was the day the Lord had made. So he's saying, and I can even see him leading that song, can't you? I can see him leading the disciples in it. And tonight, when we get ready here in just a few minutes to pass this bread, that little piece of unleavened bread that represents the sinless body of the Lord Jesus, and then we pass that little cup of juice that has the fresh fruit of the vine that is not spoiled or fermented because the blood of Jesus Christ was spotless and clean and pure blood. Friend, when we take time tonight to pass this bread and pass this juice, it ought to remind us of this day. It ought to remind us of Gethsemane. It ought to remind us of Gabbatha. It ought to remind us of Golgotha. And if Jesus could sing before he went there, surely you and I can sing because he went there. Because you know what? He went there for us. Gethsemane was for me. And Gabbatha was for me. And Golgotha was for me. And all that those places represent were for you. You and I are forgiven and saved and washed and cleansed and birthed into the family of God, adopted and safe and in the beloved, accepted in the beloved, because there was a Gethsemane and a Gabbatha and a Golgotha. And before Christ went there, he's saying, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. If he could sing before he went there, surely you and I can rejoice and be glad in it because he went there. On these occasions, we pick a hymn or two and we sing. And I get so, it's just a pet peeve of mine. I sat tonight during the choir song and watched two people talk and visit through the whole choir song. First of all, I thought, what a disservice to the choir. Give up time and come here and practice and sing and put the time in. And people just sit around and talk all through the choir song. What a show of disrespect and just common courtesy. But more than that, oh, to miss the message of that song tonight. It's still the blood that cleanses from sin. And we pass the bread and sing a little bit about the body of Jesus. And we pass the juice and sing a little bit about the blood of Jesus. And we half-heartedly and don't think about the words. But friend, listen, you ought to grab that songbook tonight and look at those words and think about Gethsemane and think about Gabbatha and think about Golgotha, because Christ went there for you. And he went there for me. And surely if he sang before he went there, you and I can sing because he went there in our place. In our place. And they sang in him and went out to Gethsemane, to Gabbatha, and to Golgotha. The Lord's Day, they sang. And you and I have that same privilege to look back on that day and rejoice and sing and praise him for the sacrificial death of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Let's pray tonight. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, what a joyful thing tonight to look back and think about Gethsemane and Gabbatha and Golgotha and realize that it was for us. Jesus did not go there for himself, but in your great plan, before the foundations of the world ever were created, this day was planned. This day was designed. That's why you protected the seed of the woman for all those 4,000 years of Old Testament history. That's why you protected him from Herod's soldiers at his birth. That's why you protected him from that mob that would have thrown him off the hillside to his death. You kept him alive for this day. And this day included Golgotha and Gabbatha and Gethsemane. And how thankful we are tonight that because Christ went to those places, we can be saved and have forgiveness and someday live in heaven with you. We pass the bread tonight and the juice, Lord. Please, may it not be ritual, ceremony. Oh God, may it be a very vivid reminder tonight to our minds and our hearts about the great sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made on the day that you planned from eternity past. And may we rejoice in that day tonight and in the one who went to Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and Golgotha. Jesus, draw us close to yourself tonight. I pray, Lord, for any attitude or any presence of unconfessed sin in my heart, would you cleanse me? Would you wash me? And as Brother Dave saying, would you fill us now with your presence, Lord Jesus, as we come to this very special time. Thank you for all you did to make it so that we could be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.